Good evening, everybody. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. All okay? Good. Good. Okay. We're up to Siman Shin Chof Hei. We're up to Sif Yud Aleph. And the halacha is as follows. Likid en yudi asov v'netzirich behemtu. We're talking about a goy that gathers, a goy gathered hay, grass, hay, for his animal. Likid, he gathered en yudi, the goy gathered asovim, grass, letzirich behemtu, for his animal. Is the yid allowed to send his animals there? So the goy brought animals, hay for his animals, for his cows. He brought it all in, he gathered it all. Heaped it all up, and he did it for his own animals. But now the yid also wants to benefit from this grass. He's allowed to, yes or no?
In whose ownership is the grass? In the guy's premises or the yid's premises?
No, it's in the fields.
Common,
yeah. It's okay. Likit in yudi asovn letzirich behemto. If the guy gathered hay letzirich behemto for his own animal, imenu makiroi machilach visol. If the guy does not know the yid. No connection, no kesher. They don't know each other. So then the halacha is, Meichel Achu Bisol, the Yid is allowed to have benefit from this hay. The Yid is allowed to send his animals there and get and take from that hay. How do you do that? Shoyme b'faneo, he puts his animals in front of it. Be'inyon in a way, Shaloisuchalintos, he cannot turn away. Elo derech shom, he puts animals in a way that he can only go towards the hay pile. That's what he's allowed to do. The Ilamidom Alein also, but he can't put the animals literally on the hay to grass, mamash literally there. Why? Techashinon, we suspect, Shema Yitol Biyodu Viachileno, Vemukts, we're concerned. If you put literally their cows right next to the haystack, we're concerned. If the animal is not eating well enough, you're going to take some of the hay and you're going to stuff it in the mouth of the cow, which is mukta, that you can't do. So what the yid is allowed to do, he's allowed to put his animals in a position that inevitably it's going to go towards the hay pile. That you can do. But if you're literally going to go there and you say, come on, Daisy, have a bit. So you put it literally there on the hay and then you take the hay and you... we're concerned, it's mukta. And you're literally going to be standing there. You're going to end up feeding the animal with mukta, with the hay. And that's also... Avol. Now that's all. If the goy and the yid have absolutely no connection, they don't know each other, then it's fine. Because then the goy doesn't know the yid. He's not going to do anything for the yid. However... Avol, but turning to the next page. Imakiroi, if the goy knows the yid, the situation is very different. Why? Also, it's also, even to do that, what we've described now is also why. Vechein, and similarly, bekol dovo, the ikalemechash, any other situation and circumstances, the ikalemechash, we have to suspect, shemayab v'shviloi, we are concerned that perhaps the goy, what did the goy do over here? He brought loads of hay and he piled it all up. And now the yid wants to also bring his cows there. So now the thing is as follows. If the goy doesn't know the yid, as we discussed earlier, so that's fine. They don't know each other. That's all right. But if the goy and the yid know each other, and they've got some kesher, and the yid brings his animals there, so the goy is going to say, oh, you also want some hay? Let me bring you some more. And what is he doing? He's going to take the hay, which is mukta, and carry it and pile up even more hay for the yid. And that's also, because inevitably, the goy is going to be marbe, is going to increase bishvilo for the yid. And that's also, because it's basically what it turns out, you're asking the goy to the melacha for you. But that's the words. Avalim akiroi, but if the goy knows the yid, v'chein, similarly, pechol tovo, with every similar circumstance, the iklamech were concerned, shema, perhaps, yarbe, he will increase bishvilo, he will increase for the yid, that's going to be also. Avol, but... in any circumstance, the lekelemechash, we're not concerned. He will not increase for the purpose of the yid and for his needs. Kegoin, such as shehidlik neir le'atzmoi. If the goy lit a candle for himself, and now the yid wants to come and benefit from it, even if they know each other, taloch is going to be that it's fine. Why? Because he's not going to increase more light. It's lit already. Similarly, also kevesh leirid boy. If he constructed a ramp, Shebnei echot v'kevesh echot yaspik lekol. But the fact that he constructed it already, where they lit the light, where they constructed this ramp, that's sufficient for everybody. Therefore, I feel my kiro, even if they know each other, muta, it's permitted. Rabbi Yisai, who are differentiating now when it comes to having done, benefiting from melacha, which a goy did. We are concerned that perhaps he's going to do more for the Yid's needs. And therefore we're differentiating between makiro and makiro. Does the goy know the Yid, yes or no? If they don't know each other, so it's fine. You can have benefit from the melacha, from the haystack. You're allowed to have melacha from... You're allowed to have melacha from what the goy has done. However, if the melacha that the goy has done, if it's something which is makiroi, if it's something that the goy knows the yid, so we're concerned maybe he's going to do more locha for the yid. He wants to get in his good books. He's going to do more locha, and therefore it's going to be also because of the gzer of shema yaba b'shviloi. However, when it comes to gzer of shema yaba b'shviloi, there's a disclaimer. There's an exception. Yes, generally we are concerned he's going to do more for the yid, but if it's a situation in which it's impossible practically that he's going to do more melacha for the yid at this point, it's going to be muta. And the example given is if the goy switches on the light for the yid. If the goy switches on the light for the yid, even if they know each other, it's not a problem. You're allowed to benefit from the light because he's not going to increase more light just because the yid has come. He's in no way of increasing the light, and therefore it's permitted to have enough from the light. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So what you're referring to, what you're saying is correct. What you're referring to is when the goy did this sugi over here is different, because what we're referring to over there is when a goy did the melacha for the yid. Then is an issa hana from the melacha. That's what you're referring to, leaving the room, etc., etc., etc. That's what we find. Here was something else. Here it is clearly talking about the goy doing the melacha for himself. Now there's a separate gzeira of shemoyabe b'shviloi, and that gzeira is we're distinguishing between makiro and makiroi, and if it's something, it's nela echad or not. Yeah, as the Shulchan Aruch starts off the words, he liked in Yudah Sovim litzrich behemtoi. He did a melacha for himself. So there's a gzeira of shemoyabe b'shviloi. Seif yud beis. Avol pishe enu makiroi. Even if he doesn't know him. So we learned if they know each other, so it's going to be muta. If they don't know each other, it's going to be muta. Afal pishenu makiru. If he doesn't know each other, im oimer beferish. If he said explicitly, shalatzurich Yisraelu oisid, he's doing the melacha for the yid. Hoyafil einu oimer kain. Even if he doesn't actually spell it out, doesn't specifically say he's doing the melacha for the yid. Humaisav machichin, but his actions are evident. Shalatzurich Yisrael oisid, he's doing this for the yid. Then, kugon shehidlik ne'er beveis Yisrael boy, v'holach loy en yudi, but if it's evident that he's doing the melacha for the yid, then, kugon shehidlik ne'er beveis, he lit the light in the Yiddish house, v'holach loy en yudi, and the guy left, also it's going to be also. Here we are saying, that if it is evident, that's actually going back to Reb Gideon's point, that if it is evident, if the melacha, the guy does the melacha, and it is evident that he's doing it for the yid, then you may not, then it's going to be also. So it means that even if the guy, if it doesn't know each other, imagine there's somebody, they don't know each other. He's never seen the yid. He's never seen it before. But here he is, and he comes, and he does the melacha for the yid. It's going to be also. So makir and makir is only distinction if it's not explicitly doing the melacha for the yid. But if he's doing explicitly a melacha for the yid, then he either says it, or it's obvious that that's what he's doing. In such a case, then it's also to have hanor from the melacha of the goy. Sif Yud Gimel. If the goy collected, he gathered, and he fed the animal of the yid. You do not have to be moicha at the moment, straight away, immediately, you don't have to be moicha. But if he does it regularly, then you have to be moicha, you have to protest. So if you've got a cows in the front garden, and there is imagine you've got in the front garden some animals, and there's a person who just walks past, and he sees your cows and he wants to feed them. That's it, because little, he's got young animal, young children, and he wants to. So he cuts grass and he feeds the cows in the front garden. He does it for, well, he's feeding really the animals. So the halacha is that if it's your animal, and it's the goy doing it for your animal, nevertheless, it's mutter. You never asked him, and although you are benefiting from it, but it's fine, you're allowed to have it. The problem is, if he starts doing it every single week, if he does it regularly, then you have to stop him from doing so. And that's it. Im liket en yudi vehechele behem as Yisrael. If he gathered the melacha for the yid, and he fed the animal of the yid, then en tzorech lehem chosh, you don't have to stop him. Beyond if he show, you don't have to stop him immediately. If doing it, you never asked him to do melacha, you never asked him. So it's aval im rogel bekach, but if he does it regularly, tzorech lehem chosh, you've got to stop him.
So the poskim learn.
It's very interesting what you're saying, because the Mishnah Berurah does say that earlier, that this heter you're saying, that the heter which the Rama will apply here as well, that it's a different point. Over there, the point is that she did it for him, the melocha element, she did for herself. And that's why it's mutter. The melocha aspect she did for herself. Now you don't have to protest. It's mutter. It's mutter.
Because if you know she's doing every week hot water, let's say she did it the first week.
But why did she do hot water? Did you ask her to?
No, but if she did, because you know she's going to do it every Shabbos. Same with this with the cow. You said if this boy is done one Shabbos, and then he's going to come the next Shabbos, and you have to tell him not to. So what's the difference between telling the clean or whatever she should not do it? You said you don't have to tell her.
Correct.
Even if she's using hot water the first Shabbos, and you know she's going to, and then the second.
If I never asked her to do so, and she's doing it for her own benefit.
You never asked the goy to feed your cow.
Yes, and Taka don't have to protest, don't have to stop him.
Yeah,
but if he does it regularly, I have to stop him. Yeah, no, because why? Yeah.
She's doing it regularly.
By feeding, he's not doing it for himself, he's doing it for you. By washing up, she's doing it for herself.
Well, no.
She's doing the water for herself. If.
That is
besides the point. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still don't get the. I still think it's a bit of a very subtle.
It's a subtle difference, and you're right. The Shulchan Aruch wouldn't hold of it, but the Rama, that's how the Rama takes it. And the Ma'aser Tzorech Shabbos will have to be maker. Yeah, but that is a distinction. See if you'd Gimel Rabbeisai. Let's see if you dalet. Also, any yudi b'Shabbos oroin okevel atzmoi. Okay, this goy now on Shabbos he finds him making an oroin or he gave it out to me. Either it was quite sad, and he made himself an oroin, a coffin, or he started burying his kever. It was pretty. It was quite a bad day, and he started digging his kever. So now the loch is muta lisol likover boy. If he buried. Also, any yudi b'Shabbos oroin okevel atzmo. If he did this melacha for himself, and cholil abaminon, there is a yiddish kvura, so mutar liyisrael lekaver boy, a yid may be buried in this kevo, in this oroin. Yes, it was done on Shabbos. Yes, it was done on Shabbos. But since it was done for a goy did it for himself, so the halacha is a yid may benefit from it. Ve'imosor b'shvili soel. But what happens if he was started digging for a yid? He was really You started digging for a yid. So the halacha is, imaso b'shvili soil, then lo yikover boy olamis. Then a yid may not be buried in this pit forever. Because it was a melacha. Digging is a melacha. Which was done for a yid. And we learned that you're not allowed to have benefit from it. So here it is, that imaso b'shvili soil, if the digging was done, letzorich yisoil, lo yikover boy olamis. A person may not be buried in it forever. So what about Bechdesh Yase? So that's the Mishnah Berurah's question. And let me just finish the Shulchan Aruch. For Dafke, Shakeva Befayis, Val Oren Al Gabov. This is only if the Keva, if the burial plot is Befayis, is open, is public. Val Oren Al Gabov, and the Oren is on it. Shakol Yoidim, that everybody knows, it's evident, Shenase Leploni Yisrael. It's evident, it's clear that this burial plot was made for a yid, somebody, a goy, was digging this particular place for a yid. It's evident. This is recognizable. She has to put in soil. Havalimu betzina, but if it's a hidden place in the middle of nowhere, it's not recognizable. It's not evident that this is the burial plot that he did for yid. Havalimu betzina, it's hidden away. It's unrecognizable. Then mutter le cover boy le'erev b'chdesh yasu. In such an instance, it would be mutter to bury yid on Motzei Shabbos, b'chdesh yaseh, however long it takes to dig a Keva, then it will be permitted on Shabbos. Now, not only that, but even if it is an open evident place that we said earlier that it's also, it's only also for that particular Eid. He was digging this burial plot. Yes, it's an open burial plot, but he did it for one particular person. He was digging for one particular person. Then it's also for him forever. That Yid may not be buried in that particular place forever. But any other Yid would be mutter to be buried in there. As long as he's on Motzei Shabbos Bechdei Sheasu. So again, Rabbi said, so if Yudalit is teaching us, if a goy prepared a burial place for a goy, and then it wants to be used for a Yid, that's mutter anyway. That's mutter. If he prepared that burial plot for a Yid, that's also in principle, and Shulchan Aruch says it's also Olamis. Now we're making a distinction. The first distinction is Pefahesia and Betzina. Pefahesia, it's going to be also because it's obvious and it's open, it was done for Yid, and therefore it's also forever. Yes, that initial, yeah, and the second pshat, that's right, and the second point is that even if it's done Bifahesia, that we said it's also, that's only also for that particular person it was buried for, but other Yidin may benefit from it. Mishnah Berurah's question, Rabbi Kagan asked, one second here, we don't find such a concept of things being also forever. We don't find such a thing. Normally, things are also Bechdei Sheyaseh. So we find that things are also Motzei Shabbos, however long it takes to do the Melacha. How long does it take to make it, to prepare a burial place? I don't know how long it takes. A few hours? So that's how long it'll be also Bechdei Sheyaseh. And if it's impossible to do the Motzei Shabbos, then fair enough. You're going to start counting from the morning. I don't know if it's possible to, but certainly not Olamis. How does Olamis come into it? That's Rabbi Kagan's question. Mishnah Berurah Sif Kot Nayin Gimel. Olamis ve'afal gavin, although the bechol melachos, with all the melachos shenase b'shvil Yisrael, all the melachos that are generally done for a Yid, einoy osu rak b'chdei Sheyaseh. Normally, it's only osu b'chdei Sheyaseh, how long it takes to do the melacha. Hocha, here, to Milzer Befahesia, that there is an open, evident breach, Kele Kamei, Hichmiro Bechachomim Tvei, Chachomim were more stringent. Vuhuadin, and similarly, Bechol Mile de Befahesia, any melachas, which are very open, very public, and very on the public domain, we would call it nowadays, Shenazah Bishvil Yisrael, is done for Yisrael, also Lo Ilomis, will be also forever.
Then it should apply to any Yid.
It will be also.
If it's also ever.
If it's done for that particular. That particular Yid. Yeah.
It wouldn't apply to any other Yid.
Yeah. It wouldn't apply to any other Yid. It would start, because that burial plot screams melacha. So this was done. This guy did this melacha for this particular Yid. And this Yid therefore may never be buried there forever. However, another Yid, okay, so the melacha wasn't known for that Yid.
But if the guy specified this could be any Yid to be buried.
Yeah, so then it's say yes, then, yeah. Forever. Yeah, I suppose. If it was done for any Yid, I suppose, yeah, you're right. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says. Havlom divra taz b'shem aran mashu, matzadav kohach echmiru chom eles olamis. The taz now says that actually it is not true with regards to other melachas. It's only with regards to burial place. B'shem the gnai yulei Yisrael, a fascinating concept. It is a gnai, it is
disgrace,
thank you. It's a disgrace for a Yid. She kovet, that should be buried, bekevim mefursom. It is a disgrace for it to be buried in a place which includes the Chilul Shabbos. Shenischal b'Shabbos b'Shviloi. It's a disgrace for a person to be lying in a place which includes Chilul Shabbos. Yeah, according to this, absolutely. Yeah. Shemfusim shenischal b'Shabbos b'Shviloi. Avol b'Sham Melachos, when it comes to other Melachos which is done for it, b'chol gavne einu osurak b'chdei Sheyaseh, will always be osur b'chdei Sheyaseh. Okay. But I said this is important because what we're learning now over here, that if something, there is a concept of something being also olamis. There is such a concept of something was done by Fahesia for Yid, that will be also olamis. You may never have benefit from that forever. So the question is pretty much on your lines that you're mentioning. What happens if a guy does a melacha for a Yid, especially for a Yid, and it was a clear melacha, and it was done on Shabbos, and it's Bifahesia. What will happen then? So I'll tell you one example which is brought in the Poskim. There's some of the very large factories in Eretz Yisrael. That's not Mefusim. That's not Mefusim. Yeah? A letter being posted to your house, that's Betzina. Yeah, but do you agree to Robert Kagan?
No.
Why? It is different in the burial place over here. That the you've got a very clearly recognizable burial place, and that is melacha. That is something. But I tell you what some poskim want to suggest, and it's a bit controversial because nobody agrees that it's not exactly the same. But it's based on a ksav sofer that if there's large factories in Eretz Yisrael which are chalila mechal Shabbos, there are some of the very large factories and manufacturers of various things, and there are unfortunately Michal Shabbos. I'm not going into the electricity shaila, which is a different shaila, but the producing, it's often owned, and obviously a lot of people involved doing the melachos are yidden, and they're producing Israeli products which are chilul Shabbos. And so it's even in a way it's even worse because I'm just saying that. The reason I'm saying Eretz Yisrael is not because it's Yidden doing it, because obviously we're talking about Goyim doing over here, but it's clearly something which is done for Yidden. The assumption is any factory that works, that is manufacturing things in Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is that it is the melachos are done for Yidden because it's in Eretz Yisrael. No, they don't.
They don't.
We're talking about that factories out in Eretz Yisrael, which are not, we don't deal with.
So,
with
like, for example, the Ozem factories.
They will never allow such a thing. Yeah, they will not operate on a Shabbos. They wouldn't. Yeah, in fact, even the yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be part of. Normally, this would be included in the hashgachas. Yeah, but there is even. I mean, say there's factories that produce chairs, for instance. I don't know what we'd say about that, if that's a good example or not. If let's say this is a made up example, but it's quite similar to real life examples. Manufacturers that produce, let's say, chairs. Or tables, and they're working on Shabbos, and it's an Israeli manufacturer. Would you then claim and say that this is something which is done letzorich Yisrael, and it's done b'fahetzia? Then it should be also olames. And that, if that's true, we would have to argue that you don't sit on those chairs.
And you can also argue that from here, shouldn't have buy shares in that company. Then
shares would also be a problem. Yeah, if you absolutely shares in a Michal Shabbos. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and it's seven.
Yeah. So that's true. So that would be a kula then. That it's true. That is brought down. I think Moshe Stenbuch says it. Other mafarshim then say that. Other poskim say that if it's mamash a suffix, which is going to be the next halacha, if we've got a suffix, then if you don't know when this particular item was produced, it's a suffix. Suffix on the rabbanon. You know what I mean? But yeah.
The other question is, I don't know if there's a company called Keter that produce garden sheds and plastic drawer units and things like that. So, the mice are their ship all over the world.
So the argument would be, according to what you were saying, the argument, which is a very, very, very strong argument, you could say that since they are an international company by now, and a very large international company, you could argue that they don't, it's not on the Tzurich Yisrael, but it's on the Tzurich Yisrael and Yehudi. Yeah, then it's a different shaila. There would be a melacha. If then it's another shaila as well. But in terms of this, it could be that one could argue that. Although I think that they have different. I think there's different shipments. I think there's different. I don't know exactly how they work the logistics, but I think generally the way I understand that they will have different. Different sets. There's the ones that they sell, they produce, that is not for export, and then other sets which are for export, and that would therefore mean that the ones in Israel would therefore be included. Yeah.
There's a company in Israel, one of the foremost cyber security companies called Checkpoint, and they make firewalls and software that's all about cyber.
And it's Israeli owned.
Yeah, they're world. Class, you know, the enterprise, one of the world leaders in cybersecurity solutions. And we were, at work, we were looking into them at one point, and it suddenly fucked. Hang on a second, they're based in Tel Aviv, whatever it is, and
they'd be doing this 24/7, and you know, we were looking at managed service where there are
people hear that, Shaila? Very, very serious, Shaila.
And I was thinking, and I asked them about it, and they were saying, so we have an Australian division as well, where, for religious clients, essentially, it switches to
Australian management
over Shabbos. And I'm thinking, if it's still owned by an Israeli, and there's still Schar Shabbos.
Is it Schar Shabbos, perhaps, yeah.
I didn't know, and it wasn't the only reason.
Yeah.
If they'd been perfect in every other way,
I'd have
looked into the Shiloh, and I never looked into the Shiloh
because of other reasons.
Yeah,
okay.
It's one of the most expensive companies around.
Right.
Perhaps
because they have to be outsourced to Australia, perhaps. Siv Tezvav. Okay, so that's something we have to keep in mind, Rabbi Yisai, that at times, if the melach is done b'fahesi, it's also olamis, which is unlike any other Ma'aseh Shabbos that we find. It's also olamis over here, because it's done b'fahesi. And Siv Tezvav, we'll see if we can manage to do that quickly. Hen Yehudi Shevi b'Shabbos Chalilin. It is Goy who brought a Chalilin, that's a flute. Goy brought a flute. But a special flute. It's a kind of instrument that causes, it's very sad. It's like it causes a bit of people to be, it's for more sad occasions. And it's a kind of instrument that is used in such circumstances. So a guy brought a chalilin, this instrument, this musical instrument, to make a husband for Yidden. You may not use it even on Matzah Shabbos if there's a hesped. You may not use that Matzah Shabbos, not him, not Achayim, not others. Until even by Nacht, Matzah Shabbos, however long it takes to bring it from the close place. You have to wait on Matzah Shabbos, however long it takes to bring it. If there wasn't one in Edgewood, you have to wait how long it takes to bring it over. If you know it was bought from one specific place on Shabbos, you know specific place. You have to wait on Matzah Shabbos from that particular place. That's if it was bought from a derais transgression. But it was delivered through a kamelis, since there was no isotor involved, because that's a nice Shabbos of a drabonon which will be muta immediately. But Rabbi said, if it was done through a derais, then you must wait however long it takes to deliver it. But if it's Darbonon, then you can, then it's Mutas way to Eremot Shabbos. And finally, let's finish Sif Tezayin. Let's Sofek im Huvu Mechutz Tchum. That's the Loch mentioned earlier. If you're not sure where it was brought from, if it was brought from outside the Tchum, or in the Teuch Tchum, you have a certain item. You don't know if it was brought from outside the Tchum, or it's from within the Tchum. Then, Choshen Shem Mechutz Tchum Huvu, you have to assume because you have to assume that it's also, you have to be choshed that it comes from outside the tchum. And the reason is because why is it not sofek darbonon lekula? Davar sheyesh lo matirin. Very good. Because davar sheyesh lo matirin. So therefore, as we mentioned numerous times over the last few days, something which will become more naturally on Matzah Shabbos, we don't say sofek darbonon lekula because davar sheyesh lo matirin. Good evening, Abayi Yisai. And good chodesh.